The climate is changing. So are we. I'm Laura Lynch, and I host What on Earth? That's CBC's Climate Solutions podcast. Twice a week, we take you around the world to find the people who are trying to build a better future for all of us. We explore indigenous science, new technologies. We talk openly about mental health and climate anxiety. We also take your smart questions all the time. Come find What on Earth wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This is World Report. Good morning, I'm John Northcott. Big news for basketball fans and fans of women's professional sport. CBC Sports has learned Toronto is getting a WNBA team. The official announcement isn't expected for a couple of weeks, but Shireen Ahmed with CBC Sports has been speaking to sources with knowledge of the deal, and she joins us now. Shireen, what do we know about this deal?
Well, what we do know is that the Toronto WNBA team is the 14th team. It's an expansion team in the WNBA, the Women's Professional Basketball League. Larry Tannenbaum, who is a board member of MLSC, he actually owns other teams. He owns the Toronto Raptors. He owns TFC. So he put a bid forth with his holding group called Kilmer Sports Incorporated, and they won that bid. To head the new franchise will be the former vice president of basketball operations for the Toronto Raptors. Her name is Teresa Rush. We already know this, and the team will play at Coca-Cola Coliseum starting May 2026.
So whether it is basketball or hockey, I guess the question now is, how big could women's professional sports get in this country?
What we do know is that women's sports are growing, you know, in huge numbers. It's not just the merchandise, the record attendances. There have been two previous exhibition games and preseason games of the WNBA, one in Toronto, one in Edmonton, and those sold out within minutes. The merchandise was gone. We know that viewership for women's basketball is on the rise constantly. And then there's also the proposed professional soccer league in 2025. It's just a really critical moment. And if you're not already a fan, it's a fantastic time to jump on board.
Shireen Ahmed in Toronto. Thanks, Shireen.
Thank you.
More than 90,000 jobs were added to the Canadian economy last month. That's significantly more than most analysts had been predicting. Peter Armstrong explains it all.
That gasping sound you hear is from economists and policymakers right across the country. This is an absolute blowout of expectations. It was concentrated among men, mostly in Ontario, Quebec, BC, and New Brunswick. A little more than half of these jobs are part-time, but they're mostly private sector jobs. But it's not just the sheer number, the sheer volume of jobs that have been added here. The details are pretty strong too, right? Total hours worked is up compared to last year. Average wages up 4.7% on a year-over-year basis. But for all those gains, the unemployment rate holds steady at 6.1%. That's basically telling us that even by adding 90,000 jobs, that's only just keeping up with population growth. So a monster headline number, a little bit weaker in the details, but this is definitely not the jobs report of a very weak economy. Peter Armstrong, CBC News, Toronto.
Police have forcibly removed pro-Palestinian protesters from the University of Calgary.
We are asking you to move off the campus property safely.
That warning from police shortly before they advanced on the crowd late last night. The demonstrators had set up an encampment during the day on Thursday. They're demanding the university sever any links, financial or otherwise, it may have with Israel. The CBC's Joe Horwood has more.
Met with resistance from the few remaining protesters, police used pepperball guns and flashbangs to clear the quad at the University of Calgary. After setting up the encampment early Thursday, about two dozen protesters remained at the site late into the night, linking arms in solidarity. Others heeded warnings from police that if they stayed, they would be arrested, packing away tents and leaving campus. Shortly after 11 p.m., police moved in.
They have an old lady on the ground!
Police say they were notified of the protest by campus security. Protesters were asked to leave and told they were trespassing. When they refused, the university called in police for assistance. According to the group behind the encampment, it set up on campus to get the attention of the university's senior leadership after receiving no response to a letter sent days earlier. Similar to other demonstrations taking place across Canada and the U.S., protesters are demanding that the U of C cut any ties with institutions or corporations involved in the conflict in Gaza. Joe Horwitz, CBC News, Calgary.
Israeli tanks are reportedly encircling the entire east side of Rafah. Residents say there are explosions and gunfire with intense fighting reported between the army and militants. This comes just hours after Benjamin Netanyahu appeared on U.S. television. The Israeli prime minister vowed to press on with the Rafah ground offensive despite international pressure. Our correspondent Chris Brown is in Jerusalem with the details.
On the day after the U.S. president confirmed he was suspending a shipment of bombs to Israel and considering stopping more if Israel presses into Rafah, Benjamin Netanyahu was defiant in an interview with U.S. TV host Dr. Phil.
If Israel has to stand alone, we'll stand alone.
Of course, the U.S. is still overwhelmingly Israel's largest military supplier, with billions of dollars of other weapons in the pipeline. But it's also clear the U.S. wants Netanyahu to end the war with Hamas now, which Netanyahu said he will not do.
We've destroyed about 20 battalions of the Hamas's 24 terrorist battalions. We have another four to go there in Rafah.
The Israeli prime minister has been sharply criticized for doing everything possible for years to block the creation of a Palestinian state and for not having a plan for Gaza. Instead, he offered these thoughts.
We'll probably have to have some kind of civilian government, civilian administration by Gazans who are not committed to our destruction, but we're going to have Israel continually root out terrorists, because I don't see anyone coming in to do that right now.
Spain, Ireland, and other European countries are reportedly planning to recognize a Palestinian state on May 21st, regardless of Netanyahu's opposition, although without the backing of the U.S. and Israel, the act would largely be symbolic. Chris Brown, CBC News, Jerusalem.
Federal Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre and Newfoundland and Labrador Premier Andrew Fury are among those paying tribute to Rex Murphy. The National Post is reporting the commentator and political pundit has died at the age of 77. Murphy, a Newfoundlander, was known for his acerbic wit and strong opinions, as heard in this 2019 comment about environmentalists opposed to resource development in his home province.
Some wandering stranger who's just unlocked himself from some bulldozer blade wanders into a place he's never seen before and is allowed to chatter on about how you're going to destroy the planet. Who in the hell is he?
CBC's Tricia Kindleman has more.
During his storied career, which spanned from the 1970s up until just days ago, Rex Murphy focused primarily on Canadian political and social matters. Speaking freely on those issues can leave behind a complicated legacy, something actor and comedian Mark Critch acknowledged.
He was very far right in the last few years, but he also thought that Pierre Trudeau was the greatest Canadian ever. So you might not agree with what Rex had to say, but oh boy, could he ever say it.
Critch, a fellow Newfoundlander, grew up around Murphy, who was a colleague of his father's. Murphy began his broadcasting career in radio, eventually hosting CBC's cross-country checkup show, which continues to be a staple of its weekend programming, though he signed off in 2015.
Thanks to all of you I've met, said hello to. You've in the main been extremely kind, and in that sense you've been overly generous. Thanks.
His final opinion column ran on the front page of the National Post on Tuesday. He's also being remembered on social media by politicians, including Stephen Harper and former Ontario Premier Kathleen Wynne, who also acknowledged his ability to share his thoughts so succinctly, even if they didn't always agree. She said on social media, quote, "This is sad. Rex Murphy didn't like my politics and I didn't like his, but he was a character and he will be missed a lot." Tricia Kindleman, CBC News, Toronto.
And finally, music and fashion combined. The accessories hip-hop artists wear are iconic.
My Adidas walk through closet doors and roam all over Coliseum floors. I step on stage at Live.
After Run-DMC released this song in 1986, Jam Master Jay got a 14-karat gold pendant shaped like an Adidas sneaker. Now, Slick Rick had a gem-encrusted crown and matching eye patch. And how about Nicki Minaj's huge diamond Barbie pendant covered with diamonds? Get around together. All those jewels and more go on display today at the American Museum of Natural History. The exhibit is called Ice Cold. It shows the evolution of hip-hop jewelry over the past five decades. And yes, the exhibit does come with its own custom playlist. And that is the latest national and international news from World Report. I'm John Northcott. This is CBC News.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.